Arise, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
Today is Tuesday, March the 19th. It is the Solemnity of Saint Joseph, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary and foster father of Jesus. The Lord is the giver of holiness. Let us turn to him and pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy God, raise us up to new life in holiness. Lord our God, you called our fathers in faith to walk before you in holiness of heart. May we follow in their footsteps and obey your command to be perfect. You chose Joseph, the righteous, to care for your son in childhood and youth. Teach us to care for Christ's body by caring for our brothers and sisters. You entrusted the earth to mankind, to people it and make it prosper. Inspire us to work wholeheartedly in this world, seeking always to give you the glory. Father of all mankind, do not forget what your hands have made. Grant that all who work may have secure employment and a fitting standard of living. Father, you entrusted our Savior to the care of Saint Joseph. By the help of his prayers, may your church continue to serve its Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning and welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Sunrise Morning Show here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Anna Mitchell. Matt Swaim is off today, but he did leave us with a conversation for today's Feast of St. Joseph. Paul Ockman at the controls for us. And coming up this hour, that conversation with Matt and Rita Heikenfeld of AboutEating.com, looking at culinary traditions surrounding this solemnity in the church. Dr. Kevin Vost will join us to continue our series on his book, How to Think Like Aquinas. Today we'll be talking about establishing a firm and wide knowledge base, as Aquinas put it, filling our mental cabinet. Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio of the Crossroads Initiative will be along to talk about St. Joseph as a model of faith in action. And we'll wrap things up for the hour with Father Frank Donio of the Catholic Apostolate Center. We've been doing a series with him on Christian prayer. Today we'll be talking about the battle of prayer, a good Lenten topic. Right now it's 2 minutes past. It's time for news. ISIS is calling for retaliation for the mass shooting at two mosques in New Zealand on Friday. The terrorist group's spokesman ended 6 months of silence with an audio recording yesterday. He called the shootings by a white extremist accused of killing at least 50 people in the city of Christchurch an extension of the campaign against ISIS. He said the attacks should incite the group's supporters to, quote, avenge their religion. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says the crisis at the southern border is real and is getting worse. Mark Mayfield has a story.
In a speech in D.C. yesterday, she argued that President Trump's declaration of a national emergency is entirely justified.
There is no manufactured crisis at our southern border. There is a real-life humanitarian and security catastrophe.
Nielsen said the U.S. immigration system was not built to handle the influx of illegal immigrants and the flow of illicit drugs. She insisted that the system is breaking. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Meanwhile, the Pentagon is handing Congress a list of hundreds of projects that might be delayed to pay for a wall along the southern border. President Trump declared that national emergency at the border last month, which allows him to use Defense Department funds for the border wall. The projects that could be cut span the globe and have not yet been awarded to contractors. The list includes a barracks, fire station, and solid waste management facility at Guantanamo Bay. The Pentagon says it has not yet determined which border barrier projects need to be built. The White House is touting President Trump's economic agenda and slamming progressive Democratic proposals such as wealth tax and Medicare for All. The White House Council of Economic Advisors' economic report of the president details the administration's economic outlook for the next several years. The report released yesterday claims the tax law Trump signed in late 2017 led to bonuses for 6 million workers and a $17 billion increase in venture capital deals last year. The report argues that a 70% marginal tax rate championed by some House Democrats would reduce GDP by more than $530 billion over 10 years. Pope Francis has said Christianity without tenderness does not work. The Pope offered that counsel in a meeting yesterday with representatives of the Charismatic Order of Chameleons, which is dedicated to serving the sick, the poor, and those who are dying. The Pope said to them, quote, "Tenderness is the very marrow of our encounter with people who suffer," end quote. And about $8.5 billion will be wagered on this year's NCAA men's basketball tournament. Brian Shook has details.
The American Gaming Association expects 47 million American adults to lay down bets during the tournament. 40 million Americans are expected to fill out a bracket. The AGA says the bettors are favoring Duke to win it all. It also says 2.4 million people will bet illegally with a bookie. Brian Shook, NBC News Radio.
I will not be one of those people. I do not put money on the NCAA tournament. I do not know. Well, there are a number of reasons, but for one, I do not know enough about men's college basketball to risk putting any money on anything. But I don't know. I haven't even looked at the bracket really yet to determine who I think is going to win, but it does sound like Duke is the odds-on favorite, which I guess they should be. I think they're the overall number one in the tournament. So it would make sense that that's what people would be picking. But I don't know. I don't think I'm going to pick Duke, just to be different. We'll see. Today is Tuesday, March the 19th. It is the Feast of Saint Joseph, husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary, foster father of Jesus. This is one of two feast days that Saint Joseph has. He is, of course, patron of the Universal Church. In May, we will celebrate the Feast of Saint Joseph the Worker. We'll talk a lot more about Saint Joseph this hour, including right now at 7 minutes past the hour. Matt?
It's time for Bible Foods with Rita Heikenfeld of AboutEating.com. And since March 19th is the Feast of St. Joseph, we're going to talk about some food traditions related to the foster father of Jesus. Good morning, Rita.
Well, good morning. And I know this is one of your favorite saints.
I love St. Joseph. And he doesn't have any speaking parts in the Bible, but he's a pretty important guy. You know, he was put in charge of baby Jesus, so I feel like that's a pretty good distinction.
Oh, yeah, you bet it is.
Yeah, and in Italy is really where these traditions come from in terms of the food stuff.
Oh, yeah, and you know, when you said you don't hear him speak through the Bible, I think we don't give St. Joseph enough credit because he is just a wonderful saint, and they say if you pray to St. Joseph, he's always going to answer. Not that the others don't, but it's just, he's there for us. So, talking about that feast, you're right. In Italy, they celebrate the Feast of St. Joseph as Mary's husband with a huge feast of food. And you're the one who told me this years ago. They put that food on a special altar. And the legend says, Matt, that there was a famine in Sicily hundreds of years ago. So what did the people do? They prayed to St. Joseph to help. He ended the famine. And in Thanksgiving, they had a special feast with a special altar honoring him. And, you know, all over Italy and really all over the world, they still celebrate. And the table is overflowing with an abundance of food.
Yeah, and there are all kinds of food that go on this, among them especially breads that are, you know, molded into various shapes. And I'm very bad. Bread is the one thing that I'm terrible at baking. I can make almost anything except for bread, but, you know, olives very often involved with this as well. Yeah, there are all kinds of traditions associated with this.
Oh, yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about bread later. And by the way, you can bake bread. I'm going to send you a wonderful loaf for it.
Thank you.
It's called Fast Bread.
I could use the help.
Bread. Anyway, back to the subject. In villages, different people portray the Holy Family, and they also portray the 12 apostles along with angels. I think that's so cool. And then the table design is unusual, as you might have mentioned. They're steps leading up to the table, and those steps represent the ascent from earth to heaven. And it's really, I mean, it's just amazingly elaborate. And on the top step, you'll see a statue of Saint Joseph, or maybe a picture of the Holy Family. And what they do to create sort of the scent of heaven, the fragrance, they put palms and lilies and white carnations, all really fragrant flowers there. And it's supposed to represent the fragrance of heaven and the sweetness of salvation.
Yeah, also the purity of Saint Joseph, especially with the lilies, and we see him depicted with those. And even the tablecloth has symbolism.
Oh, yeah. The table's always covered with white linens, and vigil lights are placed upon it, again, for suggesting the purity, not suggesting, just representing the purity of St. Joseph. And, you know, what the lights, I found this really fascinating, Matt. The lights are green, brown, and deep yellow, and those represent St. Joseph's clothes, because when you look at pictures and art, those are the familiar colors in his cloak.
So let's talk about those breads.
Oh, my. Well, first of all, the foods that are eaten represent a very bountiful harvest. And I know, as you said, one of your favorites is the breads. And they bake the breads, Matt, in special shapes like a staff, a cross, a hand, and even different animals. And I think that takes a lot of talent. I mean, I can bake bread, but not like that. But they do it so that the breads represent both Saint Joseph and the whole life of Christ. But here's the deal. No meat or cheese is served, but they serve a lot of fish. And sardines are one of the most important fish that they serve. And they also serve a lot of soups, thick soups like lentil soups. And we know, of course, lentils are mentioned in the Bible, but they put escarole with it. I think that's sort of to celebrate spring coming. And then they serve veggies like celery and fennel. And there's always plenty of food to feed everybody, but first the priest has to bless the feast. And then the day ends with everybody taking home a little goodie bag. It might be filled with some of the bread, some fruits, cookies, pastries, a medal of St. Joseph, which I think is nice, a holy card. Or sometimes they even put a blessed fava bean in it. So, and they say, you should keep that lucky bean if you get it, and that reminds you to pray to St. Joseph.
Hey, well, I mean, This is something that I'm going to have to start to incorporate now. So
yeah.
For our recipe today, you have a form of bread, I guess you could say. Biscotti counts as bread, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and this, and I'm sharing it because almonds are always included in many of the desserts that they serve. And, you know, the almond tree was and still really is considered a sacred symbol. And that's why, in honor of this, my recipe is an Italian almond biscotti. And, I think it's appropriate, too, since along with everything else, St. Joseph is also the patron saint of pastry cooks. And I have a picture and the recipe on my site. It's almond biscotti. It's not a real sweet biscotti. It's really easy to do. It has the usual suspects, flour, sugar, baking powder, salt. You mix that with some eggs and a little bit of canola oil. And I always like to put a little bit of both almond and vanilla extract in it. And then I'll toss some coarsely chopped almonds in it, and I'll form the loaves. And then I like to sprinkle a little bit of coarse sugar on top because, as I said, it's not a real sweet biscotti. And biscotti means twice baked. So you bake it in two loaves in the oven, and they do look like bread. And then after you pull them out, you let them cool, slice them up, and then bake those slices a little bit longer so that in the old days people use biscotti mainly as dunkers in coffee, and that's why you bake them twice so they don't fall apart when you dunk them in your coffee or your tea.
And they are so good. Thank you so much, Rita Heikenfeld. You know, I was just recently looking for a biscotti recipe, so that's perfect. Head over to abouteating.com along with me to grab that recipe and all of Rita's wonderful recipes. You can find abouteating.com linked in the show notes at sonrisemorningshow.com. 14 past now, let's take a look at weather across the nation. From the Ohio Valley to the Mid-Atlantic, quiet conditions are expected as high-pressure system remains in place today, although snow showers will be targeting the lower Great Lakes today. A frontal system will move through the central plains to the middle Mississippi Valley today, bringing rain showers to eastern Kansas into western Missouri. Also, there will be a mix of snow and rain in eastern Nebraska and western Iowa, where they definitely do not need it right now. Pray for them. Texas, the lower Mississippi Valley, south and southeast is forecast to be dry today. While rain showers and thunderstorms will hit southern and central Florida, it will be mostly dry across the Gulf Coast on this Tuesday, and the Pacific Northwest to the southwest will be quiet during the day. But as the day progresses, rain showers will be forming across coastal California. Coming up next on the Sunrise Morning Show, headlines. Plus, have you heard of all of the titles of St. Joseph, particularly what we invoke in terms of his titles in the Litany of St. Joseph? We'll talk more about that coming up after a quick break. It's a quarter past.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. SolidarityHealthShare.org. Everywhere the Comboni missionaries serve, from Sudan to Ecuador, they work with people of all ages and in all walks of life. But regardless of where they're working, there's a need to help students get to school. Education offers children a ladder out of poverty and a path to a promising future. Your donation funds scholarships, school supplies, and textbooks for needy students in Guatemala, Uganda, and more. More information about empowerment through education at ComboniMissionaries.org. That's ComboniMissionaries.org.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. In theaters March 29th, visit unplanned.com for tickets. Rated R.
If you're in the market for books or other resources for Lent and heading to Amazon to buy them, remember to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
By doing so, you're indirectly giving alms without spending an extra penny, because when you go to Amazon through our link, we get a commission for the purchase.
So enhance your Lenten spiritual life and support the Sunrise Morning Show at the same time by clicking the Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click on Amazon.
EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
It's 18 past here on the Sunrise Morning Show. Let's take a look at headlines. ISIS is calling for retaliation now for the mass shooting at two mosques in New Zealand on Friday. Meanwhile, bishops from all over the world have been offering their condolences and prayers to the Muslim community and have condemned those attacks in New Zealand. And Pope Francis yesterday met with the Order of Camillians, named for St. Camillus de Lillis, telling them that Christianity without tenderness does not work. You can hear full newscast coming up in about 11 minutes from now at the bottom of the hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. So happy feast, happy solemnity of St. Joseph. He is the patron of the Universal Church, and as such, today being such an important feast day, such an important solemnity in the church, you can, in good conscience, throw out your Lenten penance today, because today is a great feast in the church. In fact, if it were happening on a Friday in March, you would be allowed to eat meat. That's how
incredible this feast day is for us and how incredible Saint Joseph is. Now, we'll be talking a lot more about him as the father figure, the human father figure in Jesus's life, the foster father of Jesus, as he is known, with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, and how Saint Joseph is a model of faith for us all, but particularly for men and fathers. So that's coming up just a little bit later this hour. But I wanted to bring up the litany of Saint Joseph and some of the titles through which we invoke his intercession, like Light of Patriarchs, Renowned Offspring of David, Spouse of the Mother of God, Chaste Guardian of the Virgin, Head of the Holy Family, Mirror of Patience, Lover of Poverty, Model of Artisans, Glory of Home Life, Guardian of Virgins, Pillar of Families, Solace of the Wretched, Hope of the Sick, Patron of the Dying, Terror of Demons, and Protector of the Holy Church. Some beautiful titles that we have for this great saint of ours, the patron of Holy Mother Church, Saint Joseph. Pray for us. Particularly pray for those who are dying today, as he is the patron of a happy death. Coming up next on the Sunrise Morning Show, Dr. Kevin Bost. It's 21 past.
If you're in the market for books or other resources for Lent and heading to Amazon to buy them, remember to go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon link.
By doing so, you're indirectly giving alms without spending an extra penny, because when you go to Amazon through our link, we get a commission for the purchase.
So enhance your Lenten spiritual life and support the Sunrise Morning Show at the same time by clicking the Amazon link at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click on Amazon.
The Baltimore Catechism asks, what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. When we think about gifts, we should not primarily think of those things which we can touch or see or taste or feel, but the particular gifts, the gifts that really matter, those are the ones that affect our souls. He knows how much better what I need than I do. And so he says, you are asking for a rock, and I will give you bread. You are asking for a scorpion, and here I give you a fish. You are asking for what will hurt you, what will harm you. Behold, I give you the gifts of piety, knowledge, understanding, fortitude, counsel, and fear of the Lord. Let us thank the Holy Spirit and ask him to increase those gifts in our lives so that we may truly appreciate how God gives himself to us and how we might give ourselves to him. Reflecting on the Baltimore Catechism, I'm Dominican Father Ezra Sullivan.
Saint Mary Magdalene, woman of many sins who by conversion became the beloved of Jesus, thank you for your witness that Jesus forgives through the miracle of love. You, who already possess eternal happiness in his glorious presence, please intercede for me so that someday I may share in the same everlasting joy. Amen. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Mark Watkins.
It's 23 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today. Dr. Kevin Vost is back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show. He's online at drvost.com. You will know him by his many books, including the one we're talking about today, How to Think Like Aquinas, The Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers, continuing our series on it. Good morning, Dr. Vost.
Good morning, Anna.
So today's piece of advice from St. Thomas is, put whatever you learn into the cupboard of your mind as if you were filling a cup to the brim. Now, just as a general overview for us, Dr. Vost, what does he mean by this?
Well, just as a general overview, speaking in psychological terms, I believe he's telling us to build up a very large knowledge base, pointing out that it's worth knowing things and trying to accumulate your knowledge as you go throughout your life. Knowledge about the things that matter most, like the things of God, and knowledge about things that matter the most to us as individuals, our particular profession, our occupation, any academic endeavors, even hobbies. We're going to be happier, perform better when we grow in knowledge every day for a deeper understanding of the things that really matter.
Okay, well, I'd like to go into that just a little bit deeper. So he likens it to filling a cup to the brim, which would mean, you know, we need to be acquiring knowledge a lot. But what is the importance of that? Why is it so important, according to Aquinas, to have such a broad knowledge base? Why does it matter?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons there, but one thing, the broader our knowledge base, the better able we are to think on our feet. We have more resources. You know, we've stored the lessons of more experiences in our heads, so when we come across new situations, we're, you know, much better equipped to act in the right way, the ethical way. And I think it's especially important in our time. There's a metaphor I give that another Dominican gives, Blessed Humbert of Romans, borrowing even from St. Bernard of Clairvaux. And in giving advice to preachers, he said, preachers should not be like a pipe, you know, that receives and pours out all at the same time, but like that bowl, you know, that fills up and then overflows. So the idea, too, is in our time, we often think we don't really need necessarily to acquire a lot of knowledge, but it's, we've got that thing in our pocket, right, that little phone that can give us everything. But Thomas's point is that it makes such a difference, though, when that knowledge is within our own heads. For example, that bowl that fills and then overflows. You know, people who cook know when you put different things in the bowl, you know, it forms a recipe, that the flavors start to blend. You get new, in a metaphorical sense, we get more insights when we're accumulating knowledge. We see how things connect. We can reflect on them. So it really is important, and even in our time still, to try to grow in knowledge, to understand things within our own heads, you know, not just in some device in our pockets. Sometimes I think the idea that we're thinking that we don't need to remember things, we don't need to know things in depth because we have those devices, it's almost like thinking a few generations back we thought, well, I don't need to really know things myself if I'm standing inside of a library, right, because everything's right there. But what a difference it makes between having it, you know, in some external source and actually within us.
Absolutely. I'm in complete agreement. Now, given that there is so much information out there, I mean, even if we want to have an incredibly wide knowledge base like Aquinas did, I mean, we're still going to have a limited ability to obtain knowledge. So what should form the foundation for our base of knowledge?
Sure, and according to Thomas, of course, it would be the most important things should get the most focus. So these things of God, the knowledge base of the scriptures, of the teaching of our church, of the lives of the saints. So the subject matter, you know, religion and theology are going to be utmost. You know, even for us, you know, lay people, we're not expected to be professional theologians, but we do need to know the articles of our faith to sort of try to grow in our knowledge of our faith. So that would be the fundamental starting point.
And then beyond that, you recommend, or I would think Aquinas would recommend, the subjects of history, philosophy, and literature, which I want to take one at a time. So why history?
Well, you know, history is extremely important because it gives us, for whatever subject matter we're studying, it gives us all the background to know what came before, what's been tried and what's failed, what have been different views of nature. I think it's a major problem of our day. I think C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery, the idea that we are so enlightened today compared to the people of the past. But there's also that saying, and I believe Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. When we study history, we really get the richness and background of all the important things, you know, in the history of the church and in the history of the world. So it'll give us a very essential grounding. Thomas himself did that. Whenever he addressed a subject, he started by telling you what the great thinkers before him had to say on the subject. So that's what grounded his own knowledge base, by knowing the history of what came before him.
Speaking of the great thinkers before him, why was he so focused on philosophy?
Well, he was so focused on philosophy because Thomas saw philosophy, you know, as a guide to natural human wisdom, as a perfection of our capacity to reason. You know, God gave us these reasoning abilities we talked about in previous episodes that differentiate us from all the other animals, and God expects us to use them. So philosophy can be a guide to help us with crisp thinking, you know, this philosophy that deals with the rules of logic and things like that. And there's also a lot of good ancient classical philosophy that deals with morality, ethics, and virtues in a very, very helpful way that does not contradict the teaching of the church. So Thomas always pulled from this, from like the writings on ethics from people like primarily Aristotle, also some of the Stoic philosophers like Seneca. So there's a great wealth there to be learned in philosophy when it applies to just how to make us more virtuous people, how to help us follow the will of God through the use of our reason.
And you've got a good list of recommended titles to look to in that regard if we want to broaden our knowledge base of philosophy. Now, some people might be surprised that the third one here is literature. Why literature?
And again, we're just looking at the idea of building, you know, a broad knowledge base. I kind of start off saying, whereas history tells us what people have done, literature can inspire us about what we might do. You know, all the great possibilities, using our imagination, our hypothetical reasoning. There can be literature that, of course, blends with history, becoming, you know, historical fiction that could give us a really sense of being in a different place, in a different time. So I think good works of literature can very positively stir our emotions and our imaginations, our thinking, you know, make us more empathetic, put us not only reading history as something dry, but as seeing it as something that's actually impacting people's lives. So I think literature, you know, is very important then to expand that knowledge base in our imagination. And Thomas sometimes also cites ancient works of literature in his writing.
Very cool. And of course, the importance of leisure when it comes to study is indispensable, as long as you're not doing too much leisure, right, Dr. Bose?
Yes, exactly. And literature can be a case where we get both profit from our rest or leisure, because mm-hmm. we can enjoy ourselves as we're expanding our mental horizons.
We've been talking to Dr. Kevin Vost. The book is How to Think Like Aquinas, The Sure Way to Perfect Your Mental Powers. You can find it linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Dr. Vost, thank you so much.
It's always my pleasure, Anna.
Mine as well. Thank you. All right, it's 31 minutes past the hour now. It's time for news. ISIS is calling for retaliation for the mass shooting at two mosques in New Zealand on Friday. The terrorist group's spokesman ended 6 months of silence with an audio recording yesterday. He called the shootings by a white extremist accused of killing at least 50 people in the city of Christchurch an extension of the campaign against ISIS, and said the attack should incite the group's supporters to, quote, avenge their religion. Meanwhile, bishops from all over the world have offered their condolences and prayers to the Muslim community and condemned those attacks on the mosques in Christchurch. From Vatican Radio, Sean Patrick Lovett has more.
Indian Cardinal Oswald Gracious, Archbishop of Mumbai and President of the Indian Bishops' Conference, expressed profound pain for the massacre. In remembering it was filmed and broadcast live on Facebook, he expressed his concern with the inappropriate use of social media. It's increasingly getting loaded with hatred, threatening messages, ultra-nationalistic rage and categorization of dissenters as anti-nationals, he said. In Ireland, Archbishop Dermot Martin of Dublin has asked that prayers be said in remembrance of those who died or were injured in the attacks. The Archbishop has also expressed his concern about anti-Islamic sentiments being expressed via social media in Ireland and even in publications purporting to be of Catholic inspiration. In the United States, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, said he was deeply saddened by the senseless attacks and expressed his agreement with the New Zealand bishops, who say they were particularly horrified that this happened at a place and time of prayer. Archbishop Mark Coleridge, president of the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference, condemned this unfathomable act of evil, praying that out of evil good will come, strengthening the bonds of goodwill in the city, the country, but especially, he said, between Christians and Muslims. Other global leaders have expressed their sadness, including the Archdiocese of Singapore, that states that such deeds remind us of the importance of promoting interfaith dialogue, and that tolerance, mutual respect and appreciation of other faiths must be taught and learnt.
I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says the crisis at the southern border is getting worse. In a D.C. speech yesterday, she said President Trump's declaration of a national emergency is entirely justified. She argued the system is breaking. Meanwhile, the Pentagon is giving Congress a list of hundreds of projects that might be put off to pay for a wall along the southern border.
Brian Shook reports.
President Trump declared a national emergency at the border last month, allowing him to shift Defense Department funds to the border wall. The projects that could be cut span the world and have not yet been awarded to contractors. The list includes a barracks, fire station, and solid waste management facility at Guantanamo Bay. The Pentagon says that it hasn't yet determined which border barrier projects need to be built. Brian Shook, NBC News Radio.
Pope Francis met yesterday with the Order of Chameleons, telling them that Christianity without tenderness does not work. The Pope offered that counsel in a meeting yesterday with representatives of the charismatic order named for St. Camillus de Lillis, which is dedicated to serving the sick, the poor, and those who are dying. The Pope said to them, quote, "Tenderness is the very marrow of our encounter with people who suffer," end quote. That's the news on the Sunrise Morning Show. It's 35 past the hour.
The Sunrise Morning Show.
Are you giving up coffee or caffeine for Lent? Better stock up on tea or decaf, and the Mystic Monks of Wyoming have a number of different flavors that you can choose from.
They also have flavors like Pascha Java that you can get now for your Easter baskets, and you support the Sunrise Morning Show with your purchase when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com.
While you're there, why not pick up a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug, both $10, in our online store.
Get the mugs and link to Mystic Monk coffee
or tea
at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. Job is one of the most recognizable names in the Bible. We are all familiar with his heartbreaking losses and his determination to seek answers from God. It's easy to overlook the fact that there is another who shares his losses. I'm talking about his wife. She remains unnamed in the book and has just a few lines. But we should admire her down-to-earth attitude as she struggles to understand what has happened to her and her husband. Like Job, she probably felt like wondering why God ever brought her into existence. Job, of course, moves on in his grief, and by the end of the book, he's ready to say that he now understands that everything is a gift from God. I would like to think his wife shared those feelings. She never speaks in the book again, but we do know she stayed by Job's side, and that together they were blessed with 10 more children. Her story of faith remains untold, but it was surely just as impressive as Job's. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
Happy to welcome back to the Sunrise Morning Show Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio from the Crossroads Initiative. You can check out his resources and get more information about his pilgrimages over at dritaly.com, also a professor at Catholic Distance University, cdu.edu. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Anna.
So March 19th is the Feast of St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He, of course, is not the biological father of Jesus Christ, but still his lineage is important as it pertains to salvation history, is it not? Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I would love to talk about that because Joseph doesn't get enough attention. He is an incredibly important person in the history of salvation and an incredibly important model for us, for all of us in many respects, but especially for fathers and for husbands. It's really, really important to understand in ancient Israel and in the time of the New Testament, St. Joseph gave Jesus his lineage. And if you read Matthew's gospel, we don't trace the fact that Jesus is a son of David from Mary's lineage. Mary obviously gave Jesus his humanity, but there's a lot more to parenting than passing on of genes. And Joseph played that incredibly important role, not only in caring for Jesus and Mary, but giving Jesus his legal status as a son of David. Mm-hmm. That's how the genealogies trace him. Now, Mary, we don't know what tribe she was a member of. There's a strong suspicion she was a member of the tribe of Levi because her cousin, Elizabeth, was married to a priest, so she would have most probably been a Levite also. But it doesn't tell us in Scripture. It's all about Joseph's lineage and his genealogy that becomes Jesus. So that's really, really important. And it's also really important to think about all that we've learned in the last 100, 150 years in psychology about the most formative years of a child's life emotionally, which tend to be the first 5 years or so. But then you have, as the child gets older, the modeling issue. You know, every boy needs a male role model, needs a father figure. You see, Joseph is there as a role model teaching Jesus, who it says in Luke's gospel that Jesus grew in wisdom, age, and grace before God and before man. That's the end of the story of the finding Jesus in the temple in Luke 2. Well, a lot of that growth happened, not just because of Mary, but because of Joseph.
Now, what can you tell us about the faith of Saint Joseph? Because we do see that in Scripture.
Absolutely. Saint Matthew's gospel shows us Joseph as a model of faith, just like Luke's gospel shows us Mary as a model of faith. It's not easy for either one of them to believe, and I think that's really, really important for all of us to understand. Yes, Mary was conceived immaculately, but so was Eve, and Eve blew it as soon as she had the chance to. Even though one is without sin, it doesn't mean that it's easy to continue to say yes. Faith involves some trust where you can't see. It's not vision, you know? We walk by faith, not by sight, says St. Paul. So faith involves a certain amount of blindness. Actually, a really good example, you know, the Lord says his word is a lamp unto our feet, it says in Psalm 19. But a lamp in ancient Israel is very small. You can fit an oil lamp inside the palm of your hand. It's a tiny little thing. And people would actually strap them to sandals to make kind of a flashlight at night. So if you can imagine, you're only illuminating about 5 feet, you know, maybe 7, maybe 10. So it shows you your next best first steps, but that's about it. Faith is kind of like that. There's a lot of darkness out there. We don't see the whole picture. We know we hear what God wants us to do. We get flashes of it enough so that we can walk. And walking is an image of faith. So let's go back to Joseph. He gets a revelation in a dream from an angel that this child is actually not the child of another man, but the Son of God, and that Mary's conception is virginal. It says in Matthew's gospel, when he first finds out, he's upset, and as anyone would be. And he doesn't know, you know, immediately to trust Mary. What is he to think? He's going to divorce her quietly. Then he has this dream. Now, how often do you trust your dreams? It's a big thing to trust, you know, an angel's message in a dream. So he gets this message in a dream, and he trusts it. He steps out in faith and trusts it, and then he literally has to step out in faith because the baby's birth coincides with him having to go to Bethlehem to register for a census. And he can't leave his wife alone on it, you know, with the baby in Nazareth, so he has to take her. It's a 70 to 100 mile ride or walk and go through the desert for part of it. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so he takes action. He brings them to Bethlehem, and then what happens? There's no room in the inn. Now, like, I don't know about you, but when I think I'm doing God's will and the things start going wrong, I start to second guess. Is this really God's will? You know, did God really say this? You know, shouldn't it be easier if it were God's will? But, you know, Joseph continues on. The baby's born, you know, according to tradition, a cave. And that cave you can visit today in Bethlehem, and I've done it 25 times. It's awesome. But, you know, it's not, right now it looks kind of nice because it's surrounded by a church. But a baby being born in a cave with animals around, that's not the most sanitary, luxurious place for a king to be born, for sure. And if that's not enough, then Joseph gets another dream. Herod wants to kill the child, go to Egypt. He's just walked 100 miles. Now he's got to walk 100, you know, more than 100 miles to Egypt. And then not long afterwards, Herod's son is gone. So it's safe to go back to Nazareth. So that's another, you know, 100 and something miles to get back up there. So, I mean, the image of walking in trust and in faith is the image we get from St. Joseph, in silence and in acceptance. And so it's an amazing example for all of us of what it means to believe.
Absolutely. And, you know, we believe as Catholics that the Lord chose Mary from all eternity to be the mother of God. Now, we have this legend of Saint Joseph that his staff bloomed like a lily, and so that's how he was chosen to become the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But do you think that the Lord was rather careful in choosing Joseph to be her spouse and the caretaker of the Son of God?
Well, it stands to reason that he absolutely was. obviously, if a father has such an impact on the formation of a child, then the Lord's going to choose very, very carefully who that man is going to be, who's going to play that key role. And that, you know, of course, from all eternity, the Lord had Joseph in mind and was preparing him. That's the amazing thing about divine providence. I mean, all of us are miracles when you look at things that could have been different in our history. You know, the Lord was preparing for each one of us. How much more so did the Lord have in mind the foster father, the adoptive father of his only son?
Amen to that. I completely agree. Thank you so much, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. If you're interested in checking out his resources, perhaps inviting him to speak, I know he's been making the rounds around the country, speaking at various parish missions. He's particularly good Lenten parish mission speaker, but speaking at a parish at any time. Or if you want to go on pilgrimage to him, with him to the Holy Land or to France in the fall, go to dritaly.com and you can find out all that information right there. You can find it linked at sonrisemorningshow.com. Coming up next on the Sunrise Morning Show, Father Frank Donio joins us to talk about the battle of prayer. That's next, plus headlines. It's a quarter till.
Catholic Singles is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. Catholic Singles has been serving single Catholics since 1997. Every month, thousands of new members join Catholic Singles to meet other faithful Catholics. And while most are there for online Catholic dating, others join for fellowship and community. For dating, friendship, or just a fun group of people who share the faith, Catholic Singles can help find the perfect match. Catholic Singles, online at sunrisemorningshow.com and click Catholic Singles.
I'm Matt Swaim, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From heavy industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated, 215-722-1000, and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from 20th Century Fox and Franklin Entertainment comes Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz, based on a true story. When Joy Smith's son John falls through an icy Missouri lake, all hope seems lost. But a mother's belief in the power of prayer inspires her community to trust God to do the impossible.
Please, God. Holy Spirit, to save my son.
Breakthrough, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. In theaters Wednesday, April 17th. Tickets and showtimes available at breakthroughmovie.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN. The EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. You can even make a donation. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
We're coming up on 12 till now on the Sunrise Morning Show. Let's take a look at headlines. ISIS is calling for retaliation for the mass shooting at two mosques in New Zealand on Friday. Condemnation for those attacks and condolences and prayers for the Muslim community have been pouring in from bishops all over the world since Friday. And Pope Francis met yesterday with the Charismatic Order of Chameleons, who work with the sick, the poor, and the dying, telling them that Christianity without tenderness does not work. You can hear news at the top and bottom of each hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. And we are, of course, a three-hour program and would love to have you along if you want to join us for the next two. You can download our app to listen live, sonrisemorningshow.com. You can find the links right there or just listen live right there on the website. Right now, we're coming up on 11 till. You're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show, and Father Frank Donio is joining us again from the Catholic Apostolate Center. Good morning, Father Frank.
Good morning, Anna.
So today we're going to be talking about the battle of prayer, a good Lenten topic. Some might think that they're not engaged in spiritual warfare, as it were. That sounds kind of extreme, but this actually is a battle that we all fight, isn't it?
It is, because prayer is, yes, a grace that's given by God, the Holy Spirit's working, but there has to be also our response. You know, we have free will. We can go our own way. But really, it could be seen as a battle because it's an everyday aspect. The compendium, the Catechism of the Catholic Church talks about in 572 that it's a battle against themselves, their surroundings, but also and especially the tempter who does all he can to turn them away from prayer. So we're also battling against evil. We're battling against Satan here. It's not just simply, well, you know, I'm not self-disciplined enough, or there's also a spiritual battle that's going on here for where our heart goes and where our heart is.
Definitely. And I thought that it was interesting. The Compendium of the Catechism says that the battle of prayer is inseparable from progress in the spiritual life. Why is that?
Because if we are not living the discipline of prayer, I mean, here we are with Lent. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. The church reminds us, you know, what's the first one? Prayer. Reminds us that we need to be focused on the Lord. And that if we're not, if we divide our hearts, or if we miss that, move in other directions, or are tempted in other directions and succumb to that temptation, the difficulty is that we're going to go backwards in the spiritual life. We're not going to go forward, or we're just going to just kind of stay status quo. But it's not all our own effort alone, and we have to remember that. It's also the grace and the action of the Holy Spirit present and moving within our lives, the grace of the sacraments we receive. So we have to always recognize that this is not just simply, well, my self-will. No, that we have to be careful about that. But we can't just sit there and say, okay, God, do this for me. That doesn't work either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a both-and kind of thing here. Now, what objections to prayer, or I guess another word we could use, excuses, do we often put forward?
I'm too busy. I've got all the, you know, I don't have this time to do it, or why should I do it? My prayers don't get answered, especially if all we do is just sit there and ask God for things, and we don't do the other types of prayer. We don't adore God. We don't take time to praise. We don't take time to, we're just petitioning, and then we say, well, see, I don't get my answer. Well, we don't necessarily still our hearts to see what the answer might be. Because of some of those difficulties, we have to just be, you know, like, humble, trusting, and persevering, and to recognize that these are the ways in which we are created by God. We are not God. And so to open ourselves to where God is moving us rather than where what we want, how we want it, when we want it. And I'll put, okay, God, I'll give you this little bit of amount of time. Well, if we did that with our friends and family, imagine what would happen. Okay, I'll give you these 5 minutes, and that's about it. I don't think that would work with your, you know, with your husband or children.
Nope.
And it certainly wouldn't work in my religious community.
Nope, it definitely would not. But what other difficulties do people run into when it comes to praying?
Yeah, a distraction. That's probably one of the biggest ones that I hear people when I'm doing spiritual direction. Oh, Father, I get so distracted. Well, yes, that's going to happen. But we also have to keep recognizing where is our heart? Is our heart focused on those worries, those concerns, other stuff that we could be doing, or are we focusing on the Lord? There's also, especially if one has been at prayer for some time, there's also sometimes dryness that occurs, and that might mean we have to change up the prayer routine. It's like the people, you know, it's like anything that becomes a routine. It can become something that's just not as fruitful, and so that dryness is going to be there. But also to cling to the Lord. I mean, I consider Mother Teresa. that she spoke about this absence of the Lord, this really a dryness that occurred for decades, but she persevered. And the other is really a spiritual laziness, or what's called a sedi. It's this, you know, well, I'm not vigilant about living the virtues. I'm really, I kind of am all over the place, and I just don't, I'm just not attentive.
You know, Father, you mentioned this just a little bit earlier. Some people will say, look, I pray and pray and pray, but I really just don't think God is listening. I mean, how does somebody actually battle that notion in their minds?
It really means being a trusting child of God, or what's called filial trust. To trust, you know, we must therefore ask ourselves, this is the compendium again in 575, if we think God is truly a father whose will we seek to fulfill, or simply a means to obtain what we want, are we doing God's will, or do we just, you know, gimme, gimme, gimme? It's not what it's about. It's following the way of his son, Jesus. We're to fulfill the will of the Father. It's not our will. That is where the battle really comes close to home. Whose will is this that we're fulfilling? Who's in control here, God or us? Or do we want a combination? And the combination never really works.
Yeah. And Father Donio, just to close us out here, as we go through our Lenten journey, how would you encourage someone to be valiant in the battle of prayer?
To take the time to do it, to very consciously take the opportunities that are there that we don't think are there, but maybe we could put aside some things. You know, we can put aside scrolling on our phone. We can put aside some of the things that are distractions. When can we really set aside that time for prayer? And Lent is a perfect opportunity for us to reset where we are and what we've been doing.
Thank you so much, Father Frank Donio. You can find him online at CatholicApostolateCenter.org. That'll do it for this Tuesday, March the 19th, the Solemnity of St. Joseph, the protector of the guardian of the Virgin Mother of God, the defender and foster father of the infant God. As St. Teresa of Avila says, though thou hast recourse to many saints as thine intercessors, go specially to St. Joseph, for he has great power with God. St. Joseph, pray for us. We'll look forward to catching up with our national audience again tomorrow on a Wednesday. Two more hours coming up for our local audience and those of you listening via the Sunrise Morning Show app, which again you can download at our website, sunrisemorningshow.com. For Paul Lockman, I'm Anna Mitchell. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.